Getting things underway today, Bill Resnick interviews newly elected Representative Con Pham, Oregon Assembly District 46. She's been an activist leader of the Oregon Just Transition Alliance that developed its proposal, Oregon Needs a Green New Deal, and convened the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, now gathering strength. They'll be discussing the program she's bringing to the legislature, especially around clean renewable sun and wind locally produced energy, and how to win in the Oregon legislature and nationally, which requires movements pressing the Democratic majority to take action. Bill?
Hi, State Representative Con Pham. Welcome to KABU.
Thank you for having me.
Con Pham has been a community organizer. She's advocated with the Asia Pacific American Network of Oregon. She's directed the Oregon Just Transition Alliance, where she worked to develop its proposal titled Oregon Needs a Green New Deal. And recently, the Just Transition Alliance established and convened the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign with over 60 sponsoring organizations. For me, the Clean Energy Campaign is a great step forward toward the vitally needed transformation of Oregon's, indeed the planet's, energy system. And just recently, she was elected to the Oregon Legislature representing District 46, which stretches across northeast and southeast Portland. Mount Tabor is about in the middle of it. It's a very diverse district. So, Representative Con Pham, tell us about the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, why it was organized, its goals, and the legislation now being considered by the Oregon Legislature.
Yes, thank you for asking. Well, we know that 2020 has brought so many hardships for Oregon. We have people who are struggling to pay their bills and keep wildfire smoke out of their homes, people who have lost their income due to COVID and the climate crisis. So our goal with this Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign was to how can we reduce energy bills and also support the home upgrades that families need so that they can stay healthy? And also, how can we create good jobs? We know that the clean energy economy is growing, that we need to make this transition. How do we make sure that these investments, as we're pushing utilities and other sectors to move to renewable energy, how do we make sure that they're also investing in community-based renewable energy projects that will create family wage jobs all across Oregon, particularly in rural communities that have been underinvested for many years? I'm happy to talk a little bit more about each of the bills.
Sure.
So the first bill is House Bill 2475, and that's the Energy Affordability Bill, and that's going to decrease utility costs for families who are already struggling in the economic recession by establishing a low-income utility rate class so that families don't have to choose between keeping their homes warm in the winter and putting food on the table. And the second bill is the Healthy Homes Bill, which is House Bill 2842, and that will support home upgrades to help improve the health of families across Oregon. We know that with the wildfires, many of our families are stuck in the homes for many weeks during the wildfire season, and without really good seal and insulation, you know, families' health is really being impacted. And so this will both build energy efficiency while also improving family health. And the third bill that is part of the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign is the 100% Clean Energy for All Bill, or House Bill 2995. And that'll create good, well-paying local jobs in the renewable energy sector and reduce pollution by achieving 100% renewable energy as soon as possible.
That's a great set of bills. I'm most interested in build out of local energy, along with so many other people in the energy democracy movement. We've concluded that local build-out, that is community energy, is central to stopping global warming and the catastrophe that's inevitable, say the climate scientists, unless we humans mobilize and take sweeping action soon. That's because local energy can be built out quickly and cheaply by any contractor who can build a home or rehab a kitchen using off-the-shelf sun and wind technologies. In addition, local energy production is far more resilient and reliable than the investor-owned utility systems and their big grids. Because the sun shines everywhere, the winds blow everywhere, and energy storage is getting much less expensive, Locally produced energy using off-the-shelf technology can be quickly repaired, whereas big grid energy coming from hundreds and thousands of miles away, it's only as reliable as its most vulnerable pylons. Some of the recent great wildfires of California and Oregon have been caused by downed power lines, and near all of the fires have burned through and destroyed great stretches of grid in places difficult to access by repair crews. So, CONFAM, tell us about the local build-out envisioned in those bills that the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign is supporting for legislative enactment this year. To what extent can local build-out be achieved if the bills are enacted?
Yeah, exactly. I think this bill or this set of bills is really about creating pathways for community-based energy projects, particularly in the 100% Clean Energy for All bill. So this bill can't be everything that we want, but it will pave the way for more clean energy development that creates good local jobs so that people in communities across Oregon can see that this works, that the transition to renewable energy brings concrete, immediate benefits and investments to their families and their communities. That's one of the things I'm most excited about, is that we're defining not just, we don't want to just have, you know, renewable energy that's still owned and monopolized by just a few corporations, but we are defining what does community-based energy look like, renewable energy look like, and making sure that we're setting really clear definitions so that it has to be a certain distance from communities, not so far away that, as you pointed out, so that is a key resilience strategy so that it's close to where people are using it and it's offering the same economic benefits and kind of democratizing the economic benefits so that we have community groups. Like here in Portland, we have groups like Verde who are owning and trying to get community ownership of these solar projects so that communities can directly benefit from the savings, the cost savings that come from renewable energy.
How do you see local community energy being run and organized in any locality? Could public agencies construct the local installations and operate them, as well as work with local organizations like Verde and the Cully District to expand the network, and also work these public agencies with all the groups and movements advocating and fighting for alternative electrified transport, alternative agriculture, energy conservations, all the groups in any community that in one way or another are working to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. That has to happen around the world, in fact, in all places of human habitation. And it has to happen locally because our work is local, our homes are local, our schools, gyms, restaurants, all, of course, local. And that local build-out of clean energy across the planet, especially in what's called developed countries, will be necessary to sufficiently reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes, I think that's the long-term vision that we are moving towards. We do need to have, I think you mentioned a state agency or, you know, public funds going towards this in a much more massive scale than we can do in the nonprofit sector. But this is a way to start towards that path and show that they're, like you said, demonstration projects and This will create the financial incentive because utilities will be required to get a certain percentage of their renewable energy from community-based renewable energy. Some of it will obviously have to come from utility scale projects, but we want to be able to actually provide the capital financing that you need up front by mandating that utilities need to get. I don't know the exact percentage, it's still being somewhat negotiated, but you know, even something like a 4% and going up to 8% requirement for community-based renewable energy projects would be a huge incentive so that community-based groups like Verde or in other parts of the state, in Lake County, in Southern Oregon, could actually know that they're guaranteed a buyer for their community-based renewable energy.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole on Cable Radio 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon, talking to CONFAM, a community organizer, one of the authors of Oregon Needs a Green New Deal, a policy paper from the Just Transition Alliance, and she's one of the founders of the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign. She was just elected to the legislature and is working with other legislators to pass a legislative package, which would, as she discussed, build out clean energy, lower energy bills, weatherize the built environment, also create a lot of good jobs, and generate a measure of climate justice. So ConFam and other states, the big electric utilities, the people who send the bills, they've been strenuously resisting individuals or communities building out their own energy supplies, because every solar panel and wind turbine erected locally by individuals or government or community organizations, that means lost customers to the big utilities. And in fact, if that continued and continued long enough, the company would in fact go into bankruptcy. So they've resisted much in most of the country. On the other hand, though, the big utilities could reinvent themselves. They certainly wouldn't be as big and profitable for their executives. They still offer good local work and saving the planet, a noble endeavor, maybe not very profitable in the short run. ConFam, how are PGE, Pacific Power, and the others, how are they responding to the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign and the legislative package?
I'm really happy to report that we do have the big utilities, PGE and PacifiCorp, who are actively participating, and they're in our policy work group meetings. We're workshopping the specific details. It is important to have them at the table because they are so critical to energy generation in our current system. So I really want to give props to the amazing coalition, particularly Verde, but also the Oregon Just Transition Alliance, which is a statewide alliance of frontline-led organizations across the state of Oregon who are coming together to advance the vision for a just transition. And that's the work that they've been doing over years, really, to build relationships with utilities and to develop this vision, this policy. I used to work at the Oregon Just Transition Alliance, where we did a statewide listening tour last summer and went to communities across the state, from Klamath County to Medford and Coos Bay, Eugene and Portland, to talk to frontline communities. That means Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities, as well as low-income rural communities, to talk about what are the biggest challenges facing them and what is their vision for Oregon in 2030. And so it was really that community visioning process that led to one of the priorities that came out. It was overlapping with the wildfire season. One of the priorities that came out was, how do we achieve 100% renewable energy that's community controlled? So, you know, we know that utilities are already making voluntary commitments to shift to 100% renewable energy. They can do it at utility scale. They still see a pathway for their business model to continue. So they're actually seeing a lot of reasons to support this, and that it can both meet their economic goals, but as well as their moral visions. I think PGE in particular has shown a lot of leadership setting clear targets for when they want to move to 100% renewable energy. And this mandate can actually just provide some of the legal backing to kind of just really force some of those changes more quickly.
I hope the collaboration continues and they come to envision a very different role for themselves in a local network energy system.
Well, I know that utilities can't do it on their own, and that's why we're so committed to the statewide organizing. So having groups and community groups that are rooted in their localities, like Rogue Climate, which has been working for many years in the Rogue Valley to build a powerful grassroots base. I mean, we know that no one is going to do this alone. Legislators alone can't do it. Communities can't do it. But by building a powerful grassroots movement that's going to push legislators and keep the political pressure on, you know, that'll make sure that utilities can see the benefit of participating rather than having to fight something that is clearly gonna pass with the voters.
That's a great way to end this interview. How do we enact the legislation, build out community energy, and transform the utilities?
We definitely need everybody's support. So I do want to encourage anybody listening who's interested in supporting to sign up at our website. It's cleanenergyoregon.org. And you can find out more about the bills and also find out more about the hearings and testimony and how you can sign up to give testimony and how you can support.
Representative ConFam, thanks a lot for talking to us today. The Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign has a lot of local sponsors, including 350.org, the Portland Sunrise Movement, and over 60 others. These represent thousands of people in this state. And as they grow, as all the movements grow with more of us getting active, they will create a nucleus for the formation of a massive movement likely to come. Because people here in the United States and around the world are coming to understand the gravity of global warming. And when the masses of people lead, the leaders will follow, and the corporate elites, they'll be forced to surrender. Confam, keep up the good work as the voice of the movements in Salem. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Please again visit cleanenergyoregon.org if you want to learn more and get involved.